My name is Lee Quinones, and I am the acting chair for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning. The next voice you will hear will be our panel lead for this hearing, Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. So I will turn over the bench to Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Allman?
Yes.
Could you please start by stating your full name and your ADC number?
Arthur Wayne Allman, 061827.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a parole hearing, and the type of parole for this hearing is a 412B, which is parole to your consecutive sentence, or absolute discharge, are the two things being considered today. And you became eligible for these on October 25th, 2017. I'd like to introduce you to the board members today. We have in the room at the far end, opposite end from me, is the Honorable Lee Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for this hearing, sir. I'll just start with a brief summary, and you can correct me if I've got any of the facts wrong. Mr. Allman, are you 60? You're 60 years old now, right? Just turned 60?
Yes.
Okay. And you're serving three 21-year sentences, and each of those is consecutive to the next. And it appears that you were paroled, you were granted parole to, you have two murder sentences, 21 years each, and then a burglary. And you were paroled from the first murder to the second murder, is that your understanding?
They're not murders.
Oh, they're not? Okay.
Well, that's what the board keeps passing up. They're attempted.
Well, my mistake. It is attempted, and I'm correcting myself right here, right now. And
yeah, they're a class two felony.
Okay. So you, and that's right, you had 21 years, if it was murder, it would be more. So I stand corrected, sir. That's why I'm asking you. So, but you were paroled from the first one, right, to the second one? Is that correct?
February of 2002.
Okay. So that part did have right. Okay. And these crimes occurred on, it looks like, on August 17th, 1986. Is that right, sir?
On the 13th, I was arrested on the 17th.
Okay, so the crime actually occurred on the 13th?
Yes.
Okay. Boy, I'm just not getting a lot of this right today, am I? Good thing you're here, tell me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it looks like you were convicted by a jury trial on January 21st of 87 and then sentenced on February 20th of 87, is that right, as far as you know?
Yes.
Okay, and then you did appeal. But that was, your appeal was upheld, or your conviction was upheld, and that was in 1990. So, as far as your criminal history, sir, it looks like you had some arrests before this, but this offense is the main bulk of your criminal history. Is that right, sir?
Yes, I had two DWIs.
Right.
One when I was 16, when they just slapped your hand, fined you $50, and sent you home back there.
Right.
Sobered up.
Yep. Okay. Okay. And it looks like you have, you've been before the board a few times, three or four times now. Let's see. And your release plan indicates, let's see, or your proposed release plan. So what was your plan if you were released on parole? I realize today is just a parole to a consecutive sentence, but ultimately, what would be your plan?
My plan would be either a halfway house or to go back to Colorado where my brother is, my older brother who needs my help.
Oh, okay, so you have a brother in Colorado.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any family here, sir?
No, the rest of my family has died. I've been in here for 33 years
Okay. Okay, sir. Well, let's see. I looked at your prison discipline history, sir, and it really looks kind of extensive. I see that you have 39 majors, sir. So what is it that's caused so much discipline in the prison, sir?
Most of them were my tickets to spend time. Like, you know what I mean?
Like the same incident caused several different violations?
Yes.
So what kind of incidents, sir? What kind of things have you had tickets for?
I've had mainly for drug abuse.
Okay. And what drugs, sir?
Heroin and speed.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at your record now, and I see a lot of narcotics possession, quite a lot of those in the 90s.
Well, the narcotics possession would be like possession of a syringe.
Okay, okay. And then there's some of these are drug possession and manufacturing. What would that be? Maybe it's one or the other. We just have a shortened, abbreviated...
Yeah, it's just drug possession, which would be... They consider a syringe tap.
Okay, okay, sir.
But
so,
I've been clean for almost 3 years.
Oh, well, good. Well, you anticipated my question, because that's what I was going to ask you, was that you've... How do you feel now that you're not using the drugs, sir?
I feel a lot better. I fell off one time 3 years ago, and that was because they had stopped my medication.
Okay.
And I got Doppler's contraction. It's a disease that's rare among European males, and both my hands are deformed. I can't hardly use them. I've already had two surgeries on my right hand. And they can't correct it. There's no cure for it.
Okay, but you say it's a very rare condition?
Yes.
Okay. All right, sir. So, well, congratulations on the drug thing. Those drugs are very, very, very hard on your body, as you probably already know.
Once they put me back on medication, I was good again.
Good. Well, that's good to hear. That's very good to hear.
Back on something for the neuropathy pain.
Right. Okay. And it looks like you also owe some restitution, so are you aware of that?
Yes, something like $3,000.
It's around, it looks like about $2,664, something like that. Okay. So as long as you're aware, keep that in mind. And you have completed some programming a little bit. Did you finish your GED or just work toward it?
I finished my GED. I took several drug classes.
Okay. So it looks like you've taken Thinking for Change, and then there's a couple of substance abuse, maybe substance abuse education, or...
NA and AA.
Okay, and you've taken NA and AA. Were those helpful to you, sir? Were they helpful?
Yes.
Is that...
Yes, I enrolled in a year-long drug class down at Red Rock.
Okay.
And, like... About 6 weeks before I completed the year long, I was hospitalized. I had surgery on my lung because I had 15 blood clots in it. Mm-hmm. Now the lower lobe don't work on my right lung.
Oh my. Okay.
And I didn't get to finish it because I was in the hospital. And then in CB9 for another 4 months.
Okay. Well, I can ask you this question because I'm a senior myself. Do you find that the younger inmates look up to you? Are you able to help some of the younger inmates?
I try, but they don't listen. You want to know the truth?
They haven't learned to respect their elders yet, right?
No. Especially here in PC.
There's a lot of wisdom that comes with age. That's the only good thing about getting older. You do get a little wiser.
I do wish they would listen because I can tell them this is no place to spend your life. I've been in here so long that my whole family's died on me. And all I want to do is just get out there and have a chance to try to redeem some of my life.
Okay, sir. Let's see here. I do want to make a note that we have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, which and stated January 3rd, 2019, and it does mention that they oppose, his office opposes any sort of parole consideration, and we always take those letters into consideration.
Well, it's kind of hard for me to understand this because I've done almost 33 years, I'm 8 months short of 33 years, in a crime that nobody even died. And I just, when is enough enough?
Right. And it's very difficult, sir, because the circumstances of every crime are different, and we encounter this all the time, where you just look from one sentence to another, and you kind of almost can't compare, that each crime is unique, and so you just have to go, okay, well, that's what I got, so, and we're good.
I would also like to bring it up to the board, that if this crime was committed after 94, when the recent change in the law, all 321s would have been ran together.
Right. And there's that kind of thing, too. It's just based on the law at the time of the offense. So,
I would have been out 17 years ago.
Tell us what did happen that day. What was going on? We have a written summary of what happened, but I want to hear it from you. What was going on? Why were you all there, and what happened?
Well, we was drinking at our apartment. And then somebody come down there. I went downstairs and went to sleep. And somebody come down there and got me up. And one of the guys that was living there with me, he had a girlfriend, Lisa LaShelly. And it was this other guy that lived a few miles away that had been harassing her, trying to get her to go out with him and stuff. And so he wanted me to go over there with him. And when we went over there, he went off in the closet, where it was a big walk-in closet, where one of them was sleeping with a butcher knife. And then he come back out, and the other guy had come out to beat him up, and he had the knife. And I panicked and pulled the gun when he started swinging the knife and shot him.
So was it your gun? Whose gun?
It was the other guy's gun.
The other guy's gun, okay. Okay, and then what happened?
I didn't own a gun.
Okay.
And then we went out to the living room, and he started saying, well, we can't leave the other one that was laying there in bed alive. And I told him, no, we're not going to kill him. And we went back. I said, I'm going to go talk to him. I went back into the bedroom, and he started screaming, so I put the pillow over his head so I could tell him, just listen to what I've got to say. And at that time, I told him then to come in and stepped around me and shot him twice.
So there were you didn't have the gun. There was only one gun?
Yes.
Okay. So you had to hand it over the gun?
Yes.
Okay.
And then he blamed it all on me. And he got out 7 years later.
Okay. All right. Well, it appears that one of the victims has some permanent, he was shot in his fingers, in his hand, and he's lost part of his finger, so he, you know, he has that as a daily reminder as well, that he can't.
Yes, I'm sure he does, and I'm sure regret it. That ain't the one that I shot.
Right.
And that's the one that was laying in the bed, and I put the pillow over his head to tell him to just hush up and listen to me, and then that's when he stepped around and shot him.
Okay. All right, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. No questions? Okay, Mr. Alden.
I'd like to know if I can be considered for absolute discharge.
It's on the you've been certified for that, sir, but that would be up to just the board's discussion and the board's consideration for today. So, Mr.
It's been a long time.
I understood.
33 years is a long time.
Understood. Okay, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, sir, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, or maybe while you're talking, you thought of something that you say, gee, I wish I had said that. Is there anything else that you can think of that you want the board to consider, sir?
All I can say is that my deepest regrets go out to the two victims, and if I would have known this is how it's going to turn out, I wouldn't even have been over there when they come and got me up. And that I would just like a chance to straighten my life out. This is basically my first time offense of anything that's been bad.
Okay, Mr. Ullman, thank you for your statement. Mr. Ullman, the board is going to go into discussion, and we do all discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we just ask that you stay on the phone and remain silent. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Ullman. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I'm seeing a few things as significant in this case. And one of those is that Mr. Ullman really has very limited criminal history. I mean, he just had a couple of DUIs before, and that was all I could find, but just a few arrests. Now, on the other side, he has quite an extensive prison discipline history, but as he said, and as I verified, most of that is drug use and not particular violence. And he did get a sentence that, you know, as he said, if the crime had occurred after 1994, the sentence would have been significantly less. At this point, I could see, based on, you know, what's occurred, he's expressed remorse to the victims. I believe his account of the crime. That it's difficult to understand when you read the summary of the crime because there's a lot of people involved and a lot of different activity, but I believe his accounting of the crime. I think he's being very honest with this board. I could at this point see paroling him to his next sentence at this point, but I would listen to any thoughts from fellow board members. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I think that's an excellent analysis. I do have some concerns about the behavior inside the Department of Corrections and how that relates to conforming to conditions of release. But we're looking at parole to his next consecutive sentence, and I'm of a position that I could be supportive, that we could safely make that transition. He still has to deal with that last sentence as it is. So I'll continue with him there.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Neal, any thoughts?
I agree.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion then that we grant 412B, which is parole to the consecutive sentence, and that we deny 411 at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second, and Mr. Neal. Agreed. Mr. Quinones. Release type granted is a 412B to a consecutive, and release type denied is absolute discharge. Then, I'm not going to say conditions, I'm just going to say abide by institutional rules, partake in available programming, and refrain from disciplinary actions. So, Mr. Ullman, the board has voted unanimously to pass you to your next sentence, sir. So you'll be on your final of the three, and will become eligible at some point, determined by the Department of Corrections to come before the board again, sir. And all you heard the discussion. We appreciate your honesty with the board. I totally believe your account of the offense itself. We really are, you know, a little bit concerned about your discipline record, but as you said yourself, you're not using drugs anymore. Had that little slip in 2017. But we urge you to continue with the positive behavior, mentoring the younger inmates to the degree you can as one of the seniors there, and continue to abide by the rules, avoid the discipline, And participate in any programming that you can, sir. And we thank you for the respect during the hearing today. You've been very, very pleasant, respectful. And your hearing is concluded, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. May I ask you guys just one question?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think that it would do any good to put in the fence computation package?
You could do that. That is an option that's available to you. Absolutely.
Yeah, since they should have all been run together anyway.
Well,
they were supposed to see me in 95, and then they didn't see me because Arizona Department of Corrections has me down for first degree murder, and I'm not here for first degree murder.
Let me just verify that again. I'm pretty sure that they have fixed that. No, it's listed as attempted. That was my mistake. I just missed it.
Class 2 felony instead of class 2.
No, they've got you as a class 2, so they've got it correct. But that's an option to you, sir, and if you feel like you want to pursue that, then you go ahead. Okay, sir?
I think I would before it gets any the rest of my life. It's gone.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Allman. And that's all. Would you put the CO3 back on the phone? Just lay the phone down.
All right.
Thank you.